Got this is a very familiar text for us, and I know I probably preached on this text probably last year sometime, but anyway, I just felt like this is where God was leading me to. I started thinking about homecoming, and probably the greatest homecoming story in the Bible is the story of what we call the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, verse 17, we'll be preaching there in just a moment. We went away, a couple of us from the church here and one other fellow. We went away on our trip to Colorado and had a great time. A lot of people ask us if we got in the flooding. Fortunately for us, most of that big rain was up north a little more, Denver and Boulder area. We did see more rain than we usually see. Got wet a couple times and that, but we had a good time. Kind of in a way, you know, I guess a lot of you, if you've been away on vacation, you kind of know how it is. You kind of hate to leave, but at the same time, you're kind of ready to get on back home. And I think by the end, that's kind of how it was. We kind of hated to come home. I like being in Colorado, like going elk hunting. But at the same time, our families are here and church families here and that. So, you know, we were all ready to get back home. And of course, the trip seems like it takes forever coming back because you're just anxious to get here. But we made it all back in one piece. Appreciate you praying for us. About that. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 17. Now, let's see. Verse number 12. I don't know why I'm in verse 17. It says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for him, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for our families, and thank you for our homes, Lord. Thank you for our church family. I pray now you be with us, meet with us, speak to us through the preaching of your word today. Lord, use me to preach, bring to remembrance those things you've spoken to my heart about. I pray that we'll all draw closer to you. Now, Lord, I pray for those ones that maybe here are lost and not sure about their salvation. Lord, I pray they'll see their need of calling on you before it's eternally too late. We'll put that into your hands, Lord, commit the service into your care, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message I put was Homesick. I got thinking about that. How many of you ever been homesick when you was a little? Well, even as an adult, you might get homesick sometimes. I remember when I would go away to my great grandmother's down in Southwest Virginia here, a little farther. I lived in Virginia Beach where I grew up, and of course, it was like a world of difference to go from Virginia Beach to Troutdale, Virginia. I mean, it was out in the sticks, man. I mean, you know, they were burning wood and coal stoves, and you know, it never smelled coal smoke before until I went down there. And I loved to go there when I was a kid. I started going there and staying with my great grandmother. My great aunt and uncle lived there. My grandfather lived there, and I would stay with my great grandmother most of the time, and a lot of times with my great aunt and uncle. And I like going there. I like being in the country. I like going to the mountains. If you live in the beach, you know, everybody thought, you know, what in the world do you want to come to the mountains for? If you live down Virginia Beach, I said, well, you live at the beach, you know, you're tired of looking at the water and the sand all the time. I want to go to the mountains. And I liked it, but I remember when I was younger and I'd go and stay. Boy, them afternoons. Boy, I'd get down in the afternoon. I'd get homesick. And I'd get down on my knees. I remember this old chair. I'd get down on my knees and like this down low, and I'd have my head laying on a chair, and I'd be moaning and singing the blues. Boy, my great-grandmother would come in there and give me a hard time about it. And I would look down the valley there, looking to the east. You'd see those big clouds, and they'd be getting red in the afternoon sun. And I used to think, if I was sitting on that cloud right there, maybe I could see to the beach, you know, down to my home at the beach, you know. And then my mom and dad, they would eventually come. I'd stay up there 3 or 4 weeks. They would come up and get me. And boy, then when they were getting me, and then I hated to leave. You know, mom and dad were there, and then I didn't want to go. So we all know how it feels to get homesick and then to go back home. I was glad and happy to go home. We see in our text here the story. We call this the story of the prodigal son. The word prodigal means wasteful. The story told us how that was wasteful. It could also be called the story of the loving father. And as we'll see when we look a little farther in the text, that it was the memory of the father's care and love that actually brought the son to repentance, more so than probably the sight of his own self as a sinner. So we're going to look at that today. Three or four points, I think. Number one, the experiences of the younger son. I got 3 points on that. The very first thing we see, rebellion. In rebellion, verse 11, it said, "A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me.'" Now, the Jewish tradition was this, that the elder son would receive twice as much as the other sons. But this was the younger son, and the sons could. It was abnormal, but it wasn't against the rules or against the law, so to speak, for a son to ask for his inheritance ahead of time. In other words, while the father was still living. In other words, it was a legal thing to do, but it wasn't a loving thing to do. Because what the son was actually saying, in a way, he was kind of saying, "I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead so that I could hurry up and get my inheritance." You know, he wanted that inheritance. Thomas Huxley said, "A man's worst difficulties begin when he's able to do just as he pleases." Now, there's been a lot of preaching on the fact of what was on the son's mind. I got to thinking about that. You know, everything that he really wanted in life, his father was taking care of. Man, they had property. They had wealth. They had servants. He had food on the table. He had a lot of things. And why? So you have to think, what was the mindset of him saying, "Give me my inheritance, and I want to go out, on my own." And, I know a lot, all of us went through that. All of us that are older, and you got some teenagers, you hadn't got to that point yet. But what it is, it's kind of an exciting time. I remember when I moved away from home the first time, we couldn't get the truck packed fast enough. We had got a U-Haul van, and a buddy of mine, I got him a job, and my boy down the street, he's a preacher now, by the way, as well. And I told Donald, we got this U-Haul van, he was going to drive my car. And we had it all packed, and boy, we was slinging stuff in there and all that, and we were ready to go. We were going to leave, you know, we was man to hammer down, we were going out of here. And I didn't think, thinking back now, my mother passed away in 2003, and looking back, what a heartbreaking time that must have been for my mom, my parents, even both my parents, that I was the only child, and I'm moving away, and man, I just couldn't get out of there fast enough, and they was hating to see me go. But man, I wanted to go, and I got my stuff packed up and tore off. And what was on my mind? You know, you're going out, you're living on your own, you don't have any rules, you don't have any regulations as far as the parents go. You're going to be able to live life as you please. Well, how'd that turn out? Well, it turned out to where I was eating sausage sandwiches with 2 pieces of bread and mayonnaise on it, because that's all I had in the whole refrigerator was a pack of sausage and a thing of bread and some green-looking mayonnaise to stick on top of it. How'd that turn out? Well, when I was at home, boy, we was having steak and shrimp. Buddy, we was eating good. Mom was cooking hams and sketty and all that good stuff. But when I got out on my own, how was that panning out? Paid on Friday, broke on Saturday, man. I mean, you know, didn't have any money. Didn't have any gas, man. Nobody was doing my laundry. Nobody was folding my clothes, man. I mean, it was rough. And it got out. That's what. But you know, that's the mindset of this guy. He wanted to get out on his own. A lot of times, I tell you, when we value things more than people, when we value pleasure more than duty, we start to get ourselves into trouble. And, sometimes things and places in the distance seem more attractive than the place we're at right now. I remember when my mom and dad still lived at Virginia Beach in the house I grew up in, and I used to have these thoughts. I don't know, maybe y'all don't think this way, but I do sometimes. I thought, boy, if I could go back in time and live one day, as a maybe 14, 15-year-old, one day in time, what kind of a day, what time of year, like would it be summertime when school was out, or would it be right around Christmas time? I like all the above. I'd love to spend Christmas Eve or something. When my mom and dad still lived at the beach and they still had the house, my mom was still alive, I used to think, boy, I'd like to go spend one of those summer days down there in Southwest Virginia, down around Troutdale, Sugar Grove, with where I went when I was a boy. I'd like to spend one of them days. But I'm going to tell you now, my mom passed away in 03 and my dad sold the house in 04 and he moved away, and man, that was a heartbreaking deal. Not today. Today, if I could spend a day, it would be right there at 1464 Virginia Beach, on Dermot Avenue in Virginia Beach, boy, right there in the old neighborhood house. And I couldn't decide if it'd be a summer afternoon or, boy, a Christmas Eve and a Christmas morning, something. But right there, that's the place. That's the place that was home. There's no place that'll take, I don't care how beautiful a place, how far away, where it's at, it'll never take the place of 1464 Dermot Avenue right there in Virginia Beach in my old neighborhood. I went on that Google Earth thing, and they got this, how they do, they show you the house from the street. It's got a blue door on it. My mom would roll over in her grave if she saw that. But the house, there it was, and I could turn the thing on the computer, and now you look down the street, you can see the neighbors all around. I got a picture. I got it on my computer, and I had it on my camera, and if I hadn't been so hectic, I would have got a picture of that and stuck it up there for you for an illustration. But that's the place. Boy, there's no place like home. I could go back to the house, but I can't go back to the home. It's all different now. Somebody else living there, and it's not the same. But a lot of times, things off in the distance seem more attractive than the blessings that we have right here at home. Jesus said this. He said, beware of covetousness, because a covetous person is never satisfied. The son that we're speaking about in our text, he had everything right at his home. Everything that he really wanted to go into a far country to get, he already had it. But see, sometimes you're blinded by that, and you can't see that. And a dissatisfied heart leads to a disappointed life, which we'll find out here in just a moment. And the Bible says that he went into a far country. Now, you can, in a spiritual sense, you can get into a far country and not move. You could be here today and you can be in a far country. You can be listening a long way from God. You can be sitting here today in a worship service in a church and be in a far country, because a far country is a place that can exist in our heart. Jesus had talked and spoken to some of the scribes and Pharisees and some of the Israelites, and he said that people honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. See, they're off somewhere else in a far country. And the younger son, he dreamed of some things. He dreamed of enjoying his freedom. And like I said, be far from home, away from the father's. Maybe there was rules and regulations, which is not a bad thing when you're raising kids. It's okay, folks. It's okay, parents. I always tell the parents, it's okay to say no. It's okay. It's not that you don't love them. It's when you say no, it's all right. But when he got into the far country, life wasn't what he expected. And it wasn't long that his resources ran out. And then his friends kind of disappeared. And I'll use the term friends loosely. A lot of times you have friends when you got money. And when you don't have any money, you find out you don't have any friends. They weren't very much very, very good friends if they ran out when the money ran out. But that's what the case was. And the Bible says that he had to feed, he had to eat the husk. He got a job feeding pigs, and he had to eat the husk, the swine that the pigs ate. Of course, feeding pigs for a Jewish man, they didn't touch a pig, they didn't have nothing to do with it. But he was forced to do work for a stranger that he would not do for his own father. He wouldn't have done that for his father. He wouldn't have fed pigs. He wouldn't have fed swine. They wouldn't have had swine. But he wouldn't even, if his father had brought a swine in, he would have said, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do that. So this is the thing. My pastor used to say, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. And he'd gotten to that situation right there. The sin had carried him to the place where, man, just to live now, he's eating husk. That doesn't sound too tasty to me. I hope somebody didn't fix husk for the dinner over here after service today. But I don't sound like that's too much to eat. But I guess, you know, you can eat and survive just about on anything. We were out there in Colorado looking. They got these little squirrels, these pine squirrels. They're aggravating a squirrel ever was. And they eat. They take these little pine cones on the ground. They eat, and there's little seeds in there. That's what they eat. It looks like they're eating the pine cones. We were talking about that, eating those things. I don't know what animals eat and what they got to eat to live, but I guess we could eat and live on things other than what we do. But here's the thing. He was looking for enjoyment, and he didn't find it. Sin promised freedom, but brings slavery. It promises success, but it brings failure. And it promises life, but it brings death. When we leave God out of our lives, enjoyment becomes enslavement. And now he was more enslaved by his life than the life he had when he was living at home. Now he was just forced to work and feed pigs and forced to eat the same thing the pigs were eating just to live. He was entrapped and he was enslaved. And all sin is an enslavement. But lo and behold, next point in repentance, it says in verse 17 that he came to himself. He came to himself, and that means that he had a change of mind about some things. There's an insanity in sin that paralyzes the image of God within us and liberates the animal inside us. Things had gotten so bad he had forgot about the Father. Now, I want you to see, and most of you probably are aware, but when we look at this story of the prodigal son, the Father pictures God and what God does for us. And the son, the rebellious son, pictures us when we rebel against God. And so what happened was he wanted to get away from God, or he wanted to get away from his father, which pictured God, and he wanted to go out and do it on his own. And what happened was that sin that had paralyzed that image of God the Father within him, and it liberated the animal that was actually inside. But what happened was, the good news was, it says he came to himself. In other words, he changed his mind. He changed his mind about himself. You know, he finally started saying, you know what, I think I've made a mistake. You know, that's a hard thing for a lot of people to admit. I think I've made a mistake. I've messed up. And I need to get straightened out. You know, give the guy credit, man, because there's multitudes of people that'll never say that. And he said, I'm looking at myself, you know, I'm not, and he said this, and a lot of us that are older know to see when you're a teenager, you think you know everything, and then when you get older, you kind of dumb up a little bit, you know, you get dumber as you get older. What it is you never were that smart, you just, now you realize it. And so what happened was, he started saying, I see parents talking to their kids. he changed his mind about himself, and he said, you know what, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Things aren't going good. And he changed his mind about the situation, and he admitted that he was a sinner. He said, I've sinned. That's a simple confession. And I said this before, you know, he kind of looked at himself, and if he had only looked at himself and said, boy, look at my situation. I'm out of money. I don't have any friends. I'm forced to feed swine, which I shouldn't be doing that to start with because I'm Jewish. I shouldn't be feeding these pigs, and I'm actually eating the food that the pigs have. He could have looked at that, and everything would have looked pretty hopeless. I mean, what are you going to do about that? There's nothing, you know, if you could do anything about it, he'd already done something about it, right? There was nothing he could do except for this one thing. And what really brought him to repentance was, instead of just thinking about himself, his homesickness, his loneliness, his hunger, he started remembering the Father's goodness. See, a lot of times, I guess in this section of the text, we could use this from the Christian point of view of Christians that have gotten out of God's will or gotten away from God, maybe fallen out of church, different things like that. And they get out there on their own again, and more things get rough like they used to be, and they start thinking about it, and then they remember something. See, they knew something about it. This is why it's good. I think it's good. It's great for parents to teach your kids. We were talking about it in Sunday school. Teach your kids about God. Because there's multitudes of stories and testimonies of people that had got in dire straits, and they just remembered their mother, their grandmother, or somebody, their father, telling them about a Bible verse, and that's all they had to cling to. It was all the faith they had, buddy. They got saved. They got out of their situation that way. That's a good point. But he had lived in the in the father's house, and he remembered the father's goodness. And see, realizing our sinfulness and realizing God's goodness are different things. You know, and not only did he remember it, he realized his sinfulness, he remembered God's goodness, but he didn't stop there. And repentance involves an act of the will as well of the mind and heart, and he did some things about it. Look what it said in verse 18. He said, I will arise. He said, I'm going to do something about this. I see that I was wrong. I see the awfulness of my sin. I see what I've done. I see the hopeless state of men. I've got to do something about it. He said, I'm going to get up and do something about it. I'm not just going to sit here and whine about it. He said, I will go. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say, there's a confession. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. He said, I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. He did something about his condition. And I think he was pretty, he had initiative, it looks like. He had initiative to leave. He's got initiative to come back, right? He didn't worry about pride stopping him and going back and saying, well, you know, I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to look like a fool. I went out and blown all my inheritance. What's my brother going to say? What's my father going to say? What's everybody in the neighborhood going to say? He didn't worry about that. He said, I'm wrong. The only thing I can do and correct it is to go back to the Father. So that's what he said he would do. Listen, there's a lot of folks that are lost. And I know a lot of folks that are lost. They don't know anything about that. But there's a lot of folks, listen here, folks, Christian. There's a lot of people that are in a far country in churches today. Might even be some here that are in a far country spiritually, but they're not doing anything about it. See, you get in that far country, what are you going to do about it? You know, we've got to change something. You know, we've got to do something. We've got to draw closer to God. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, nothing beats prayer. A lot of people say, well, I don't feel like praying. God didn't say pray when you feel like praying. He said pray. Pray whether you feel like it or not, brother. I mean, his word's not going to come back void. He said that. Read the Bible, man. Pray. Get in some meetings, man. Do something. Get with somebody else and pray. Be honest with God. Tell God how you feel about it. And that'll make a difference in your life. He acted on what he knew to be true about himself. And he acted on what he knew to be true about the Father. And then we see rejoicing in verses 20 and 24. It said he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, and fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet, bring the fatted calf, let us eat, drink, and be merry. We're going to do that here a little bit. We see the father ran to meet the son, saw him afar off. We preached on that many times. The reason the father saw him afar off, because he was watching for his return. I want you to know the father didn't go after him. The father didn't go after him, but he watched for his return because he knew. See, you can't force somebody to love you. You can't make anybody love you, and you can't make anybody stay. But he watched for his return. He was looking along, and he saw him a long way off. In that society, older men did not run. That wasn't the proper etiquette for older men to run. But he ran. He ran out of love, of course. But there was more to it than that. You see, because the law said, not only did the son bring disgrace on the family, the son brought disgrace on that village that they lived in. And the law said that the village elders could stone the son to death. The father ran out to meet the son before any of that could take place and put himself in harm's way to save his son. What a picture of what Jesus Christ has done by going to the cross. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ said, listen, I'm going to run. I'm going to pay the wages. He said, I'm going to get there and pay them before time. He paid the wages before we die. We have a chance before we die to call on Jesus Christ and be saved. He said, I'm going to run out there and pay them before. It didn't matter what the son had done. The father didn't say, well, look, you did this, 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 and this, and what are you going to do about it? And you got to do something about it. You got to apologize, and you got to pay, and then I'm going to go out here and save you from being stoned to death. No, he ran out there and put himself in harm's way before the son ever said a word. The son had never said a thing about being sorry or repentful, you know, repenting of his deeds. He never said a thing when the father ran out. The father's ready to forgive. He did place himself in harm's way. He took the penalty for our sin. And everything that the son had hoped to find in a far country, guess what? He found when he got back home. Huh? Everything. All the clothes, the jewelry, the friends, the joyful celebration. He had love. He had assurance. Some things had changed in his life there. Before he left, he said, Father, give me. Now he said, Father, make me. Make me as one of thy hired servants. In a far country, he learned the meaning of misery. At home, he learned the meaning of mercy. It was a son that was, the son was lost, and the Bible says Jesus is the way. The son was ignorant, and the Bible says Jesus is the truth. The son was dead, and the Bible says Jesus is the life. Everything he found back in the Father's care. And then the last little part, there's like another part to the story of parentheses or whatever, and it had to do with the elder son. And it's the point number four. It has to do with the joy of forgiving. The joy of forgiving. I want you to remember when Jesus was telling these stories, he had given a couple other parables before that. It was a parable of a lost sheep, a parable of a lost coin, and now he gave a parable of a lost son. He was speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. And the scribes and the Pharisees were prone to think about salvation in the way of works, that they would be so good. It was self-righteous religion, that they would be so good, and that way they would be, you know, God would be required, I guess, to save them or honor them in some way. And the elder brother in the story pictures the scribes and the Pharisees. When you look at the elder brother, he did have some commendable qualities. The Bible says, it tells us that he worked hard. He always obeyed his father. He never brought disgrace to the home or the village. And he had friends. When you compare him with the younger son that went and wasted his inheritance, he looked like a good son. But Jesus said this. He said, the greatest commandments are these, to love God and to love others. Those are the two greatest commandments. And the elder brother did neither one of those two great commandments. He wouldn't forgive his brother because his brother had actually ran off and did everything that way down in his heart he desired to do. And he wouldn't forgive his father because his father forgave the younger son. As I said, his sin pictures the scribes and the Pharisees. He had self-righteousness. He openly announced the sins of his brother, but he couldn't see his own sin. And the Bible tells us that we can see the mote in our brother's eye, but we can't see the beam in our own. He had pride. He said he always obeyed the Father, and that's a good testimony. The problem is his heart wasn't in his obedience. You know, he really had the same dream of that far country. I think there was jealousy that was involved. His brother had went out and blown all his money, and carried on a riotous life, something that he probably desired way down inside to do because the flesh wants to do that. And now he's coming back and the father's going to forgive him and put the robe and the ring and kill the fatted calf and bring him back into the fold like everything's okay. I think there was some jealousy that was involved with that. The Bible says pride cometh before fall. Like Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh, but he didn't want to go. Jonah went on. Remember old Jonah? God had to deal with Jonah. He said, Jonah, I want you to preach in Nineveh. And he said he doesn't want to go. And he put him in the belly of a whale and he got spit out and he went. He went. He didn't want it. There's a difference between doing what God wants you to do because you want to do it. Huh? It's like coming to church. I tell people this all the time. Well, if you come to church here because you think you're obligated to, you are struggling. Huh? It's rough, isn't it? It's hard, and man, we got to go down there to church. I know we ought to go. Preacher says we'll get a blessing. I know we ought to go. Don't everybody say, I know we ought to do. That's a lot different than saying, man, I can't wait to get to church, man, and see what's going on today. Man, we're going to get fed from the Word of God, and we're going to sing, and we're going to learn something, and God's going to speak to my heart. I can't hardly wait to get there. I love it when the kids get off the bus. Lester got them little kids come running in here. Huh? Conversely to the adults, they run out. They run out, not in. Huh? It's different. Y'all been in a spiritual place like that, haven't y'all? Been in a place where, you know, sometimes you're just more bumped up and, you know, you're on fire for God? It's a whole lot different than dragging your carcass down here every Sunday, barely getting in the door, can't wait for it's over, staring at your watch in a far country while the preaching's going on. You get done with the service, what did he preach about anyway? Find out what the notes were, huh? Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember what he preached. It's different. It's different. And so the elder son, listen, he did everything that the father wanted him to do, but it wasn't done from the heart. He didn't have love. He wasn't concerned for his missing brother. You know how you know he wasn't concerned for his missing brother? He wasn't looking for his missing brother. Huh? The father saw him a long way off. Guess how the elder son found out about the brother? A servant told him. He said, "What's going on?" I mean, the boy had already been home. The father had already put the robe, the ring, the shoes on him. He'd already killed the fatted calf. They're having a big party. He said, "What's all that?" "Oh, your brother came back." "What? You kidding? He didn't have any love for his brother." He had anger. He was angry at his brother and he was angry at his father. And what did he do? Instead of going to the celebration, he stayed outside and he pouted about it. The Bible says this, "Be angry and sin not." The young son was receiving all the attention. I believe jealousy, as I said a minute ago, was involved in that. Did he deserve it? No. He didn't. But it was grace. But here's the cool thing about it. The same loving father who looked for the younger son to return, when he saw that the elder son was upset outside and not in the celebration, that same loving father went to the elder son as well. He went out to him, even though his heart wasn't right. Huh? And he went out and he pleaded with him to come in and enjoy the celebration. As far as we know, the son refused to go in and he stayed outside. And here's the thing, he missed the joy of forgiving his brother and restoring the broken fellowship. There's joy in that. There's joy in forgiveness. There's joy in restoring broken fellowship. The joy of pleasing the Father and uniting the family again. And how many of us as Christians won't commit the physical sins? But we got the spiritual ones pouring out of us. Unforgiveness, anger, pride, bitterness, hate, carrying a grudge. Just as guilty as the son that ran and wasted all his sustenance with riotous living. Just as guilty. Listen, when we're out of fellowship with our brothers and sisters, we're out of fellowship with God. Ain't no doubt about it, according to the Word of God. Two greatest commandments. Love God, love others. When we're out of fellowship with God, we're out of fellowship with our brothers and sisters. The Father had the last word, and we don't know exactly how it turned out. But when we look back, and I didn't read the whole chapter, but when you read the whole chapter, when you read the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, along with the parable of the lost son, everybody in the chapter experienced joy except the elder brother. Everybody in that chapter, chapter 15. The ones that found the lost sheep, they rejoiced. The ones that found the lost coin, they rejoiced. The father found the lost son, he rejoiced. The son that was lost rejoiced. The old elder brother, man, he's all bitter. He's all angry. He's all unforgiving. He isn't experiencing any joy. He refused to forgive. He stayed outside and suffered. General Oglethorpe said to John Wesley, "I never forgive." Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." Why stay in a far country and stand outside and suffer? Huh? Why stay off in a far country, either because you've never been saved and you've never come to the Father and you don't know all the experience of the joy that the Father has, or maybe spiritually you're in a place where you're saved and you've experienced it, but you've gotten away from God? Why stay in that? Why not do like the younger son there? I'll arise, I'm going to go, and I'm going to say, I'm going to confess, and come back to the Father and experience the joy, the celebration of returning home. Being with the Father, being with his brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads clasped.